Acts chapter 24. Now we left off in verse 16 last week. And picking up in verse 17, Paul is still speaking before Felix. And he's telling him that, he said, after many years I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings, wherein certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult, who ought to be here before thee and object if they had anything against me. Or else let the same here say, if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council, except it be for this one voice, that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day. And when Felix heard these things, having perfect knowledge of that way, he was aware of who Jesus Christ was. He knew something about it because he was the governor of Judea. So his wife was Jewish. So, you know, she no doubt talked to him about their way, you know, the Jews and their expectation of a Messiah. And so he had some knowledge. So he deferred, he said here, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty. This is God's mercy to Paul, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And this is the rest of that is Paul preaching to Felix. And I titled this Procrastination Equals Damnation. Procrastination equals damnation. He said, I'll call you when it's more convenient for me to listen to you and deal with this. And as we know, that never happened. He actually committed suicide not too long after that. But we have before us here three people. We have Felix, the governor, Drusilla, his wife, and the apostle Paul. Felix is the governor, and Drusilla, his wife, and Paul, the prisoner, are the three subjects that make up this message this morning. We have a message given by a prisoner. We have a message given by a prisoner. Now, you would think that the prisoner would give some flattering words to the governor. What would you do if you were a prisoner and you came before a governor? Well, I know what most would do. They would be like Tertullus there in the beginning of this, and, oh, he'd just flatter the daylights out of the governor and try to seek, you know, release. But Paul doesn't do that. Paul is honest with the Word of God, and he's honest with his audience. And as a pastor and a preacher, I tell you, that's so important, and he's honest with his audience. And listen, he speaks to the audience he's standing before. That's important. That's important to me, that I speak to the audience that I'm speaking to. I need to think of the ones that are going to show up speak to them. Speak to your heart, from my heart to your heart. And so here Paul stands before Felix and Drusilla, and he's going to be honest with them. See, he's not going to flatter him. He's going to shoot at his heart because he's interested in that man and woman's salvation. Now, I know he is. He's interested in him. He truly desires their salvation. Now, who was Felix and who was Drusilla? Well, Felix was a slave at one time. He was a slave. And he was freed by Claudius Caesar. And he rose through the ranks until he climbed to this point of being governor of Judea. He was a wicked man. He was an extortioner. He would, as you see here in verse 26, he called for Paul. Well, at the end of verse 25, he said, when I have more convenient season, I'll call for thee. He hoped also that money should be given him of Paul that he might loose him. He called for Paul a lot, often and often, but he was hoping that Paul would pay him off. He'd give him some money under the table, and that's the kind of man he was. He was a wicked man. wicked man. But Caesar promoted this man to be governor of Judea. And Drusilla, she was Jewish. She was the daughter of Herod Agrippa the Great, the one that was eaten by worms. She was fiancée to Antiochus, but after her father died, he dropped her. Well, you know, he's dead. That's all the reason he's going to marry her is for political reasons. And when he died, he just dropped her. And she married a king named Zisus, king of Emesa. And she married that king. And then Felix came along. And he wooed her away from her, and she became his wife. That's the situation Paul is dealing with. Here is an adulterous marriage. He's dealing with a corrupt governor and an adulterous marriage. Now, Paul, don't touch that. You stay out of the personal lives. Somebody said one time, if you want to have a ministry, don't get into personal lives. I don't know how you can do that and be a preacher of the gospel, be honest. I don't know how you can do that. I don't know. John the Baptist, he said to Herod, he said, it's not right for you to have your brother's wife. And he got his head cut off. He lost his head, but he didn't lose his life. But he was honest. He was honest with his audience. Honest with them. Well, now they come to the judgment seat and they call for Paul, and Felix and Drusilla are curious to hear about this Messiah, this resurrection that Paul talks about. And you see, she's Jewish and she wants to hear more of it. And I'm sure they thought that it would be entertaining, interesting to hear what Paul had to say. They didn't think it'd be convicting. They thought it'd be entertaining, but it wound up being convicting. But not all conviction leads to salvation. We'll see this. His conscience was quickened. It was awakened by the Spirit of God, but he was not converted. Well, they take their seats, and Paul, standing there in chains, takes his place before them. And no doubt, Felix, sitting there as the judge, he's going to judge with Paul, but this scene gets reversed. This scene gets reversed. When God's man stands to preach, it's not God's man being judged. It's the Word of God judging those who hear it. And all of a sudden, Felix and his wife are being judged. And they're being judged by the Word of God, not by Paul. They're being judged by the Word of God. The Word of God is what judges us. That's what matters. In verse 24, and after certain days, when Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, which was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Paul spoke to him about faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He spoke to him, no doubt, about the person of Christ, the work of Christ, the substitutionary work of Christ, the satisfaction of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, and called on him to believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He spoke to him of Christ. He's risen. He's not dead. He died, yes, but he's not dead. He's ascended back to the Father, and there he sits and makes intercession for transgressors. And there he sits as the judge. This one who was crucified, who was despised and rejected of men, this one is now enthroned, and all judgment has been committed to the Son. All judgment has been committed to this man, Jesus Christ. And Felix, being a judge, knew something about what that meant. You know, it's what Pilate said, don't you know I have power over you to release you or to crucify you? He knew what that meant. He knew what it meant to be a judge. And Paul, I have no doubt, said that he commands all men everywhere to repent, no matter what rank they are. You're never above this rank of repent and believe the gospel. Well, as he preached, I want you to notice in verse 25, and as he reasoned, he preached is what he did, and he reasoned, and listen, he reasoned out of the Scripture. Now, Felix, this is what I think. It doesn't matter what you and I think. honestly. It's what does the Word of God say? So he reasoned with him out of the Scriptures. That's what I do every week, isn't it? I reason with you out of the Word of God. Always take a Bible with you. No matter where you go, and you're going to listen to a man preach, you take the Bible with you and see that man's telling the truth. See to it. Don't ever just assume it. See to it. And he reasoned with him. And here's what he reasoned with him about. He reasoned with him about of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. He reasoned with him of righteousness, God's righteous character. God is a righteous God, and God demands righteousness. He reasoned with him of the righteous character of God. He reasoned with him of God's demand of righteousness. And he reasoned with him of Christ providing that righteousness, of a righteousness provided by Jesus Christ, by his obedience to the law. He reasoned with him out of concerning righteousness. And Felix heard him. He heard that. He knew something about that. He knew this. I know he knew he lacked what Paul was talking about. Because he knew he was a crook. He knew he was an extortioner. He knew he squeezed money, people for money. He knew that. He knew he took advantage of widows. He took advantage of prisoners like Paul. He tried to get money out of Paul to release him. He would have released Paul and said, "Get out of town, Paul. Get out of town." He reasoned with him of righteousness. And no doubt he pointed out to Felix his lascivious way of life and how he extorted all these things and did all these things in reasoning with righteousness. No doubt he did. No doubt he pointed it out. And then he reasoned with him of temperance. Temperance. You know what that is? Self-control. That's restraint. Something we don't want, and something this country doesn't want. That's sad, but don't we live in a day when we want to live without constraints? Why do you think they want to defund the police? It ain't because they're crooked. It's because they don't want law. We don't want anybody telling us what to do. I'll be a law to myself. I'll be a law to myself. So he reasoned with him of temperance, self-control, self-discipline. You know, through all of Paul's writings, he spoke of mortifying the deeds of the flesh. He spoke of that. Paul said that he kept his body under subjection, lest when he preached Christ, that he himself would be a castaway. So he spoke to Felix about this, and Felix didn't know anything about temperance. What he wanted, he went after. What he wanted, what he desired, he did all that he could to fulfill the lust of his flesh. And Paul pointed out that that's evil. That's sinful. That's wicked. That's wicked. Paul, I thought of this. I thought Paul, standing there, in the power of God's Spirit, preached. He didn't preach before Felix. He preached to him. That's the difference. Have you ever had someone just preach before you and then have someone preach to you? I've many, many times I've sat and listening to Henry preach, and I felt like I was the only person in that congregation he could have been talking to. He couldn't have been talking to anybody else but me. He preached to my heart. I mean, it was like shooting arrows from the pulpit right at me. But that was God. That's God. I come here on Sunday morning and Thursday evening to preach to you. Not down to you. Not down to you, but to preach to you. I want you to hear it. I want so bad for you to hear what the Word of God has to say. to get a hold of it, for it to get a hold of you. For you to lay hold of eternal life and for me to lay hold of eternal life. And so when Paul's standing here preaching, he's preaching to Felix, he talks to him about righteousness, because without righteousness, no man's going to see the Lord. And in that man's position, especially in that man's position, God demands him to be righteous in his judgments. You treat people right. You have judgments right. Don't have respect of persons. Felix, God put you there. And he's going to hold you responsible for the judgment that you execute on people. I've thought of this. I've thought, how many times have judges sentenced men and women to prison and even to execution who are just as wicked as the people they judge and are going to be in the same hell that he condemns them to? I thought, oh, if you only knew, judge, that you're going to be right there with the one you're condemning. And that's what he's making Felix understand. God holds you responsible for the position he's put you in, and to do right, to be righteous. To be righteous before God and to be right dealing with men and women. He didn't put you in that position for self-gain. I tell you what, I would not want to be any of these politicians that are up there in Washington, up there for the whole purpose of serving themselves and getting rich. I mean, they're two-thirds of the way in the grave already. You can look at them. They're almost there. And they're about to stand before God, and they don't even have a clue that they're going to be called into judgment for their conduct and the way they've handled that office that God put them in. But Paul made Felix understand this. He didn't back down. He didn't take the edge off of it. He didn't back down. He told him the truth. He reasoned with him of righteousness and temperance. And judgment. Judgment. Listen. Judgment to come. You know what it says? Judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. You reckon that's what Noah was saying, that for 120 years building that ark? Judgment's coming. They laughed at him. Ain't no doubt in my mind. What's rain? What is a flood? They've never seen rain. The mist, it just went up as a mist. They had no idea what a flood. What's a flood? The water never left its banks ever. It was just the creek stayed the same level all the time. The rivers were the same level all the time. And he's building an ark, and he said it's going to flood. God's going to destroy this world, and they laughed at him. And he spoke to Felix. Judgment's coming. And God's going to call you, Felix, into judgment for all that you are and all that you have done. God's calling you into judgment. You know the scripture says that he's going to call into judgment every idle word? I mean, an idle word? Just talking, just foolish jesting. We'll see this in Ephesians chapter 5 here in a little while. Just joking and jesting, and you know God's going to call into judgment for every idle word spoken? That's how strict judgment is. That's how strict it is. Judgment's coming. We can't say that enough. And I tell you this, all who are not in Christ, and I'm sure he made this evident to Felix, all who are not in Christ, all who believe not on Christ, all who love not Christ are going to perish under God's judgment. He's not saying, Felix, God loves you. Smile, God loves you. He does. He's saying, Felix, God's going to pull you into judgment if you're not found in Christ, and you're going to pay for everything, even to an idle word. God's going to call you into judgment. This is Paul talking to the governor. That's courage. That's what you call courage under fire. He's courage. Paul let Felix know that there's a day of judgment coming. And I know this world laughs at it when we talk about it. They think we're idiots. They think we're just goofballs. We're just whatever. But, you know, they said, well, the world, you know, you've been saying this since the beginning. And, you know, here we are. We're still here. You just keep saying this. But I tell you what, I bet you when God brought the rain and flooded those people, they wished they'd listen. That rich man wished he'd listen. Listen, I know he does. Felix knew something about judgment since he acted as a judge. He acted as a judge, and he knew something about it. And Paul pointed out to him, Felix, you know, apart from Jesus Christ, you're going to perish for your sins. Apart from that man, Jesus Christ, apart from faith in him, apart from being born of God, apart from love to him, apart from following him, apart from him, you'll perish. The love of God is where? In Christ. The love of God was found in the ark. The wrath of God was found outside the ark. That's what was outside the ark. The reason, I tell you what, the reason that there's no even just any kind of fear of God in our day is because we've watered God down so much. We've watered God down so much. We've watered his anger against sin down so much. And we've just, I'm not saying we, and when I say we, one time we did, didn't we? But the preaching that goes on in our day has just made God so lovey-dovey, mushy-mushy that nobody fears him. The Old Testament called him the great and terrible God. He's great and he's awesome to stand before God. Who can stand, the prophet said, who can stand before this great and dreadful God? Those in Christ. Those in Christ. Those outside of Christ are not going to stand. Boy, I say to any sinner, flee to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to the Lamb of God. Because outside of him is nothing but wrath. That's what the scriptures teach. And I tell you what, we need to set forth God in all that he is. We don't just pick this little aspect that appeals to people. We preach God in the fullness of his character. I preach it and then I just go home. How many converts have you had? I've never had a convert. God's had some. The Holy Spirit is one who converts. I'm a messenger. I'm just like the mailman. And I watched him yesterday come in, put the mail in my box and leave. He didn't come over and beg me to go down there and look at my box. He put the mail in my box and he left. I come here and I preach the gospel to you and I go home because I know that salvation's of the Lord. True conversion and the new birth is a work of God. It's not of me. I'm just a voice. Isn't that what John said? I'm just a voice. That's all I am. John said, I'm not the Christ. There's nothing about me. I'm just a voice in the wilderness. That's all I am. That's all I am. Every person, every human being, it's not in Christ. He's going to stand before his judgment seat and he's going to be judged. He's going to be judged. And you know what happened? Here's something that's really, really interesting. Felix trembled. Felix was, he's shaking. I mean, he's literally going like this. He was just shaking. Paul, I no doubt when as Paul preached to him in the power of God's Spirit, Paul, God the Holy Spirit, God took control of that courtroom. That's his courtroom. God established that. That's God's courtroom. And God took control of it, and he put his man on the judgment seat, and Paul preached, and Felix sat there just visibly trembling. And this is astounding to me. The Holy Spirit quickened his conscience, no doubt. This conscience that he had sinned against so many times to the point where he didn't feel anything. For a little bit, he did. He made Felix to understand this is the truth. He's faced with the truth. He understood what Paul was saying. He understood it. The Holy Spirit sent the word of God in power. In power. This shows us, listen, this shows us how dead sinners are. How dead they are. Even with powerful convictions, Felix could not leave his sins. Isn't that amazing? Unless you're born of God, unless you're born of the Spirit of God, unless you're converted by the Spirit of God, if you're confronted with it in a powerful way, I mean, you understand what's being said. You understand it. To the point like Felix, he trembled. But he couldn't let go of his sins. He just couldn't let go of them. This shows you how powerful and how dead we are and how powerful sin is. Many won't come to Christ, even though they understand what's being said. They understand what's being said, but they will not come to Christ. They will not follow Him in baptism because they can't let go of sin. Now, if all I got up here and preached to you was a place called hell, people let go of things, and you know, they'll make a profession. They'll do what they need to do to not go to that place. But they don't want to be saved from their sin. They love it too much. Man drinks iniquity, it says, like water. It tastes good. There's pleasure in sin for a season. And they can't let go of it. He was faced with his life. He was faced with his sins. He was faced with what God demands. And you know what he did? He looked at that. And he trembled. He said, I know this is true, but this is what I love. This is what I love. I love this adulterous woman. I love the life. I love this money that I get. I love this position of power. I love this. And not long after that, he committed suicide. He committed suicide not too long after this message. And you know what he said to Paul? Go thy way. When I have a more convenient season, I'll call for you. We'll deal with this. And he didn't do it. He called. Now, he did call for Paul, trying to get some money out of him. You see how fast that left him? You see how fast the conviction left? This is what scares me. I'm like, Lord, convict me. And keep on convicting me. Don't. You know, I mean, he was convicted while he was standing there hearing the word. And as soon as he got up and left the judgment seat, I'm sure him and his wife began to say, well, before you know it, it was gone. It was gone. He said, I'll call you when I have a more convenient season. But he never did. He never did. Sinners are never saved. Now get this. Sinners are never saved on their terms and their time. Do you get that? You're never saved on your terms and your times. Nobody is. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Right now. Not 5 minutes from now. Not 5 days from now. It's right now. It's right now. What makes a sinner think that God will ever send the gospel his or her way again? You ever think of that? Why would I think that God would send the gospel my way again? The opportunity to hear? Why would I think that? He doesn't owe it to me. He doesn't owe it to me at all. You may die on your way home. I thought about this morning. I guarantee you, throughout this whole world, somebody's going to hear the gospel for the last time. I mean for the last time. Henry tells a story of someone there in the congregation that was there. He preached a message and preached the gospel. And this lady, as far as I know, was a believer. But he preached the gospel. And when she went home, her son came over to check on her just for some reason, whatever. He just went in, and there she was, dead in the floor. That was the last message she heard. She walked out of there feeling good. No one knows. No one knows when the last time they'll hear God speak. No one knows it. Now's the accepted time. When is it convenient to be saved? Right now. Lord, save me now. That's what I do. I pray that. Lord, save me now. It's always now with me. You know, I have been saved, I'm being saved, and I shall be saved. I'm always being saved. Now, most people think that when they grow older, they'll get saved. You know, that phrase will get saved, or they'll let God save them. And this has come from our present-day preaching. But most want to, what it comes down to is this. They want to sow their wild oats. They want to fulfill the lust of the flesh. They want to chase their dreams. And they think the gospel is contrary to that. And so they have nothing to do with it. And when they grow old, it'll be more convenient time. They'll have time to be a Christian, to be a believer. Rarely, and I mean, I've seen this by experience and from the things that I've read. Rarely do you see an old person come to Christ. Rarely. I didn't say not. I didn't say they never do. I'm saying rarely. And this just from what I've observed over the years. And like Felix, that day for most will never come. It'll never come. And let me close by reading Proverbs chapter 1. Look, over in Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have said it not all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. You wouldn't listen to me. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish comes upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I'll not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whosoever hearkens unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. Powerful, isn't it? Powerful. That's the word of God. Felix, you would none of my reproofs. You wouldn't listen to me. And the day your calamity comes, I'm going to laugh at you. I'm not going to hear you because you wouldn't hear me. When I sent the gospel to you, you wouldn't hear me. So now I'm not going to hear you. All right.